living down in LA. California. Oh, what you say about Los Angeles? Still the only place for me. It never rains in the sun.
Welcome to the Birds and the Berg Football Podcast. I am your host, Fred Halbig. Joining me as always, Jay. What's going on, man?
Hello, my friend. I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. Eagles on a bye week this week. Steelers got the Rams coming in town. They're living and dying with L.A. Big week for them.
Man, this is – it's one of the bigger games this year outside of that Baltimore game. So, we'll see.
Yeah, this is a huge game for them because with Baltimore beating New England last Sunday night, like I said they would, the Steelers have to win this game to keep up. So, yeah, like the intro said, they're really living and dying with the L.A. game this week. So, it's going to be a good one.
And even with the Rams, too, it's a huge game for them because of how close that division is right now. I mean, you have, of course.
Seattle only has two losses. The 49ers are undefeated still. San Francisco 49ers are the last undefeated team in the NFL.
I still don't understand how that's happening, but you know what?
They're going to lose in the divisional round of the playoffs. Book it.
Okay. All right. You've been pretty good with predictions so far, but it's crazy that coming out of the West, you could have three teams.
I don't know if they will. I think the Rams, I don't think they're going to make it.
Yeah, you had them. You had them finishing awful this year.
Yeah, missing the playoffs for sure.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But like I said before, the Eagles are on their bye week this week. They had some news that came out that we'll get into regarding the wide receiver position and that going forward. But some other big news around the NFL that happened this week was the Carolina Panthers officially put Cam Newton on the IR. Jay, is Cam Newton done as a Panther? Will he be on a different team next year?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Why do you think that?
$19.1 million is why I think that.
A lot of money. And Cam has not been healthy in like 2 years now, and he's been a completely different quarterback since winning the MVP and taking them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
4 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, and the kid that they have playing behind him is playing really well, considering, you know. And,
yeah.
I mean, you're building this team around Christian McCaffrey at
Absolutely.
This point. So $19.1 million you don't want to invest in a quarterback that you don't know if he's going to be there and, frankly, hasn't been good since the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, has not been good. I said, cannot stay healthy. So I agree with you. I believe Cam Newton's time in Carolina will come to an end. I think he will be traded in the offseason. So that'll be something to look out for with some of these quarterback needy teams coming up. Because given the – I don't know. I mean, Cam's good. He's okay. He's not amazing. We talked about it early in the first few episodes who we thought some of the most overrated quarterbacks were, and his name was on that list.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a team that takes, you know, a chance on him. He's still relatively young, good athlete.
Oh, yeah, and I think if he's not on that team, I think it's via trade.
Oh, yeah. They're going to try to trade him first, but like you said, teams know that they got $19 million hanging on the books.
It's a lot to invest in a guy that you don't know if he's going to be there.
So they might not. Yeah, they might not be willing to give up as much because they know Carolina's kind of in a spot where they have to get rid of him. I'm sure. I haven't looked at his exact contract, but I'm sure there's a date where that becomes fully guaranteed.
Probably
before the season starts. So.
Yeah, and we'll look into that once the offseason comes and get into all that. But it's just interesting that there's going to be a new guy under center in Carolina next year.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to stick with Kyle Allen. They're not going to be in a position to draft one of the top quarterbacks this year. So they'll probably roll with Allen another season and see what happens, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Like you said, the best running back in the NFL is on that team. And
that's who you have to build this team around.
Yeah. So good.
He's amazing.
He got ripped off from the Heisman. He's probably going to get ripped off from the MVP. So we'll see how that
goes. I mean, I wouldn't say right now Russell Wilson has to be leading contender for it. But McCaffrey's right there and he won't get it because he's a running back. Like you said, I picked him to win the MVP and you said they'll never give it to a running back. And right now I don't see it happening.
No, but they won't. Yeah, not as long as quarterbacks continue to put up big numbers. It'll always be a quarterback driven. He'll probably be offensive player of the year,
which is he definitely should be
still cool, but Yeah. He's definitely that team's most valuable player, that's for sure.
Yeah. He's the best running back in the league.
So, all right, I guess we'll get into a little bit of Eagles news here. As a surprise to nobody, I've been calling it since before he even came back to try to play. DeSean Jackson ended up having to get surgery on his sports hernia. He tried to play in the game against Chicago. He lasted, I think, 5 snaps and ended up hurting himself even worse.
Jesus.
Yeah, he tore the abdomen muscle off the bone. So he ended up having to get surgery, and he's been placed on IR by the Eagles. Jay, how mishandled was this situation?
Oh, it was awful. And, I mean, even on our part, it was awful because we were screaming for him to come back. Didn't understand why he wasn't back out there. And then look what happens. Yeah. I think the biggest mishandling this whole situation is you've been yelling it the whole time, is there was no backup plan.
Yeah. Not even that. But what bothers me more, after more news of this came out, the Eagles released a statement on the situation and said, you know, he did hurt himself early on in the Atlanta game and he wasn't able to finish that game, and that he consulted with multiple doctors and you know, they came up with this plan that he could rehab and be back relatively quick and try to play, or he could get surgery and be out the 6 weeks and be back ready to play. Looking, I mean, hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah.
And it's ultimately DeSean's decision. You can't force somebody to get surgery if they don't want it. So it was his choice not to get surgery. But man, oh man, what a terrible decision that was. He should have went under the knife, been out the 4 to 6 weeks. He would have been coming, probably would have been, you know, they probably would have held him out a little bit longer, and he would have been coming back after the bye, fully healthy, ready to help this team push into the playoffs.
But, yeah. But, I mean, you say you can't force him to get surgery, but you know what you can do? You could just put him on IR.
Yeah.
And you force him, like, look, if you're not going to do what you should do, then we're going to sit you for the whole year.
Yeah.
Because we're going to lose you for the whole year anyway. You knew the high risk of re-injury without surgery.
And that falls on Howie Roseman.
Again, yeah.
That was
it falls on the whole organization, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
That's just something.
Well, I mean, like I said, I think they suggested surgery, but he decided not to. But like you said, Howie Roseman should have been like, okay, well, then you're going to go on IR because of this situation. So you can either get that surgery because you're out 8 weeks no matter what.
Yeah,
because they can't just keep your roster spot open for no reason.
Yeah, and they banked on him coming back. You know that for a fact, because they did nothing at the deadline and they did nothing in free agency. They banked on him coming back.
Not so fast, my friend.
Okay.
Signing earlier today for the third time, Jordan Matthews is back as a Philadelphia Eagle. This is Carson Wentz's buddy. They got a good connection. He plays all three positions on this offense. We talked about it a little bit last week. I believe this is a good signing by Philadelphia. And honestly, I don't think they should have ever got rid of Jordan Matthews. They should have kept him over Nelson Aguilar, because he's consistently outperformed Aguilar, whatever that bust name is.
Yeah, I don't think his name matters at this point.
His entire career. So.
Yeah, it's a good sign. I think it's a really good sign. You're bringing back a guy who knows the system, who has been under Doug, I think, twice already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a really good signing.
Him and Wentz have a good connection. I mean, Jordan Matthews played for the Philadelphia Eagles last year. He had a big, I believe it was like a 40-yard touchdown catch against the Saints in the playoff game last year. So he's a guy who's been pretty good for the Eagles. He's put up over like 2,700 yards in his career with them. And I know there is a perception about Jordan Matthews that he drops a lot of passes and he can't catch and this and that. But since like 2016, I have some stats up here about Jordan Matthews. He has had a better drop rate. So that's not how many drops, but like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Drop. He doesn't drop as many passes. It means what your percentage of drops you have. And he's had a better rate than Alshon Jeffrey, than DeSean Jackson, than Mike Wallace, than Nelson Aguilar. So he catches the ball better than these guys. Mm-hmm. He also has a better catch percentage than Nelson Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey. So out of all the passes thrown to him, he catches 65% of those passes. Aguilar's at 60%, and Alshon's all the way down at 57%.
Wow.
That's not good.
Wow.
So, Alshon's getting the targets. He ain't capitalizing on them for one some reason or another.
Yeah. Well,
so this is
if you listen to an overrated boxing analyst, it's Carson Wentz's fault that they're not catching these balls.
Yeah, Max Kellerman says that because they all hate Carson Wentz.
Yep, because Carson Wentz is not a leader. The receivers are not catching the passes.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, these professionals are purposely dropping passes because Carson Wentz is not a leader and they don't like him.
I don't get. Yeah, he's just dumb. Right.
Here we go. I got some more stats here. I found him. Matthews was a second-round pick in 2014. He's played 60 games with the Eagles. He's caught 245 passes for just under 3,000 yards and 21 touchdowns, which I know for a fact is better than all of Aguilar's.
That's actually really good stats. Numbers.
Yeah, not bad. He's been productive. His best year was his 2015, where he was just under 1,000 yards and like 80 catches or 70 catches, something like that. He's not a big play threat kind of guy. He's just a consistent receiver for this team. He's been consistent his whole career here, and you know, I mean, that's just what they need right now. They need somebody who can come in and get the job done, and he can do that as far as I'm concerned.
Can catch a ball. That's what they need.
Yeah. So on top of that, I'm hoping the Eagles aren't done yet. They still have a roster spot open because they cut Andrew Sandejo, safety, and that they pick up a fourth round comp pick from that. Then they IR'd Deshaun. Now that roster spot, one of them's to Matthews, we know that, and I'm hoping they bring in another receiver, whether that's Mike Wallace or they tried. There was a report where they tried to get Torrey Smith to come out of retirement, but he turned him down.
Yeah, he released a statement about it.
Yeah. So whether, I've heard Mike Wallace, JJ Nelson's out there. He's another young guy who ran a 4.28 coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
He's not an amazing receiver, but he's somebody that can stretch the field. He can mix in there with this other group of receivers and just, you know, make the defense stay on their toes because he can get down the field. He's fast. And another big name I've heard a few times, which I don't know if I want any part of that, and it's not AB.
Okay. Yeah, I think I know where you're going with this one.
It's Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
He came out tonight, said he's ready to play. He wants to be a part of a team. He doesn't need to start. He's, you know, I mean, he's productive, but he does. I don't know how much he would bring to this team. He hasn't really played in a few years. He tore his Achilles at the beginning of last year. He was never really fast before that.
Yeah, but I was going to say the biggest thing with him in Dallas was he had decent speed. He wasn't a burner, but he could get over top of your guys.
And he would go up and make contested catches.
Yeah, if you're going to bring him in, isn't this just like another Alshon?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Dez has had problems with drops, too, in his career.
I would take Dez Bryant, obviously, over Nelson Aguilar. I mean, if it was up to me, if it was to line up Matthews in the slot, Alshon and Dez on the outside, sign me up, man. That's better than what they have. I don't want to see Nelson Aguilar play another snap for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's going to happen.
Yeah, if you bring in Dez – I would say Nelson's probably gone.
I mean, maybe. He won't be gone, but he won't be playing as much. No, you think we'll keep him on? Okay. They have to. It's contract fully guaranteed. Guarantee.
Yeah,
there's no point in getting rid of him at this point in the season. All right, we're back. And we had a little bit of a technical difficulty there, so we had to take a quick break. But we're back. I know we were discussing what the Eagles were doing at wide receiver and Dez Bryant and how he would fit in. At this point, I'm all for anything. The Eagles receivers have been hot garbage. I think they made a good move bringing back Jordan Matthews. He's consistent. He knows the system. He has a good relationship with Wentz on the field. So I think that's good. I just hope they make one more move at receiver before they come back next week and get ready to play New England. That's going to be a tough game. New England's also coming off of their bye week. They just lost their first game, so you know they're going to be ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with that extra time to prepare. So, yeah, that's about all the news I have on the Eagles this week. Rooting for the Vikings this weekend. Hopefully they can take out the Cowboys and we'll be tied. Again, obviously they hold the head-to-head matchup right now, but record-wise they'd be tied with the Eagles going into week 11 then, right? This is week 10, huh?
Yeah.
So so now we'll move to Pittsburgh. They got the Rams coming into town. Jay's going to let us know about that game coming up and everything that revolves around that. Yeah, go for it, Jay.
All right, so we have the 5-3, I guess, Los Angeles Rams coming into the 4-4 Pittsburgh Steelers. 4:25 kickoff on Sunday. Right now, the Rams are 3.5-point favorites. I'm a little surprised by that, considering the Colts were 1.5. I really don't think the Rams are much better than the Colts, but I don't know.
Everybody's still drinking that Sean McVay Kool-Aid.
Yeah, yeah.
They're coming off their bye week, I do believe, though, too.
They are.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, so they're rested and well-prepared, I'm sure.
You're still going across the country. I think that's we'll talk about that a little bit more. But
it's always fun.
Yeah, yeah. So some quick injury updates. Couple guys missed practice today. You had Pouncey with non-injury-related. Barron and Vance McDonald, non-injury. I think they'll be fine. Roosevelt Nix missed practice again with his knee. That's a little concerning. They brought up Sutton Smith, who was a sixth-round draft pick linebacker who also was playing fullback during preseason and camp. They signed him to the practice squad, so there could be a move made there to bring in a fullback. Ramon Foster was limited with a concussion. They'll monitor him the rest of the week. If he doesn't play, then B.J. Finney will get the start. Benny Snell didn't practice. He's not going to play for a couple more weeks. Trey Edmonds, the running back, who looked pretty good last week, missed with ribs. And Ryan Switzer missed with a back injury. Switzer hasn't been doing much. I'm not concerned about him. And then James Conner was limited with his shoulder. I think he's going to be a game time decision. I'll be surprised if he plays this week, but you never know with Conner. It'll be a big upgrade if he is in there. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so we'll jump right into it. We'll start with the Rams. Brandon Cooks is officially out.
Yeah, his brain is mush now. I'm yes. Sure. Dude's had like 7 concussions in the last 5 months.
Yeah.
He's actually in Pittsburgh seeing a specialist about it.
Okay.
It's a shame. I liked him coming out of Oregon State. He's been, pretty productive in the NFL when he's healthy. But, man, it must be time for him to hang him up.
It might be, man.
Too many concussions.
Yeah. So we'll start with their quarterback, Jared Goff, completing 61.1% of his passes, 2,367 yards, 11 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He's not having a great year for them. Not the year they expected him to have, but
no. And he got paid big bucks.
Yes, he did. So they're expecting
to play better, yeah.
Bigger numbers out of him out of the second half of this year. But the only reason he is looking decent this year is because of Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp.
And right now, my opinion, Cooper Kupp is the best receiver in the NFL. 58 catches, 792 yards, and 5 touchdowns. This kid.
Let me tell you something. The Eagles drafted Sidney Jones.
No.
Over Cooper Kupp.
Oh, that's bad. Hindsight, I get it.
I know.
Man.
It hurts my feelings. Cooper. Especially because I remember – all before the draft, they were talking about how Cooper Kupp and Wentz are good friends and they share the same sports agency or agent or something like that. And
wow.
Yeah. And there was all this hype of Cooper Kupp to Philly in the draft. And nope, we took Sidney Jones, who's soft as fucking Charmin and sucks.
Cooper, he's dealt with some injuries in his short career, but this year he's really putting it together nicely. He can do anything. He can get you underneath, catch some short passes to take them long distances, or he can just beat you deep. Cooper's, he's a really great route runner, and he can make a lot of guys miss in open space too. Not much more you could say. He, to me, he's the best receiver in the league. Another big weapon they have is Todd Gurley, 92 rushes for 355 yards, 6 touchdowns. He's not having a good year, but they're also not using him that much.
He is not the same running back that he was 2 years ago.
No.
There's obviously you know, the concerns. They said he has an arthritic knee.
Yeah.
And it's obviously that doesn't get better.
Yeah.
So he's a different running back. And with the Rams, their entire offense revolves around Todd Gurley. When they were super successful a couple years ago, he was the man. They worked the stretch, the outside zones, and they ran the play actions off of that and were able to just tear teams up. But, yeah, him just not being the same, that has completely changed this Rams offense.
Yeah. And, I mean, they said at the beginning of the year they had a game plan for him, but I don't think anybody saw it's just not use him.
Like, yeah.
92 it's carries on a year. It's strange so far.
I know they're trying to, I guess, save him for the postseason, but you might not get to the damn postseason.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, they're being carried right now by little Cooper Kupp, so –
Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods is another good receiver.
He is. He's got like 600 yards receiving on a year. He's still a good complement to him. Losing Cooks is big, but Woods has been playing really well in there. And yeah, Cooper Kupp has just been a superstar so far for them. Instead of doing like keys and all that, I just have some quick notes on the game. I think some stuff to watch. So after three straight losses for the Rams, they won their last two. And they've been starting really fast. And that's a big concern for the Steelers because they're not starting fast at all. The Rams right now in their last two games have outscored their opponents 30-13 in the first quarter. Steelers in that same period have been outscored 17-3.
Oof.
And that they cannot do that this week. You cannot come out slow. Mason has started really slow in his past couple starts, even before the concussion. So they just can't have that. They have to put up points. You have to take advantage of these turnovers that this defense can get. 2 weeks ago, the Rams were one of the worst teams in the league in turnovers, giving the ball away. They gave it away a lot. Last 2 weeks, zero turnovers. So that's big for them. Steelers are second in the league in takeaways, 22. Need to force mistakes. Goff has 7 interceptions, so he's really loose with the ball. You can take advantage of this. And with Bud and TJ, the way they're playing, they can get pressure on him and force him into a lot of bad passes.
Well, yeah, that's my biggest matchup for this game. The Rams' offensive line has been terrible this year. Andrew Whitworth is not the same player he was a couple seasons ago. Age has hit him fast. They lost a couple guys to free agency, and I believe they're starting a couple rookies up front.
Yeah.
So this offensive line has been very average to below average this year. And if there's one thing Jared Goff does not handle well, is pressure right up in his face. So a big matchup for this game is the Steelers defensive line and pass rushers against that offensive line. Because if you get that pressure on Goff, he's not very mobile in the pocket. He will fold like a lawn chair and he will just throw the ball up and the Steelers can create some turnovers off of that, especially since Minkah Fitzpatrick is now the greatest NFL safety that has ever lived and put on a jersey. He's probably worth around 7 first round picks now. So he will definitely be a major factor in this game. I expect him to have 4 pick sixes on the day.
I am so happy you said that, man. It's about time you're coming around. This is amazing.
Yes. Yeah. I see the light.
Yeah, that's great. Like you were saying about the offensive line. So far in a year, he's been sacked 12 times, Goff. They're letting him get hit. And I think if I'm correct, I think it was over 30 times he's been hit. So 12 sacks, taking 30 quarterback hits. The line has been playing better the past couple weeks, but right now the Steelers are 5th in the league with 29 sacks.
Yeah. So they're getting to the quarterback. Not even the sacks and stuff, like I said, he'll throw the ball up. If he gets pressure, he just throws it. And then
I'm saying like
really bad interceptions. So
the line is allowing pressure.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting hit over 30 times so far in a year. So TJ has 7.5 sacks. Bud has 6. Cam Hayward has 5. So they're getting home. And even when they're not getting a sack, they're still hitting guys. So.
Yeah.
Then we'll jump over to the other side of the ball, the Rams D. They have a really good defense. And the center piece of this defense is Aaron Donald.
Yep.
he could take away the run by himself. It's just how good this kid is. They're 10th in the league in run defense. Very hard to run against. Samuels did nothing last week. That's why it's a big concern with his running game. I think Connor would be better because he's a thumper and he can also bust through the line quickly. But as far as the run game goes, they've done nothing the past couple of weeks. So it's really going to lean more towards Mason being able to do something. As far as some of the other guys on their defense, Darnold Fowler and Clay Matthews each have 5+ sacks, so they're getting to the quarterback.
I think Matthews, is he still out though? I think he was on IR.
Okay. I didn't. Yeah. I think I saw something about that, but I didn't read much into it.
Yeah,
so.
I think he might be out.
Okay. So they can still get to the quarterback really well.
Dante Fowler's been pretty good since he left Jacksonville.
Yeah, and Eric Weddle is a really good safety. I think he adds a lot to them, especially now with Jalen Ramsey.
I was going to say, I think you're forgetting somebody.
No, I know. I was getting to him. Trust me.
Yeah, number 20.
Yes. The defense hasn't shown much improvement in the way of passing so far. They're still 19th in the league in pass D, but this is his third game there. He's going to shadow Juju. They're playing a lot of man with him now. So I really think it's going to need for Dante Johnson and James Washington are going to need to step up big in this game. Washington had his best week last week. He had like 5 catches for 70 something yards. He really needs the help. And then Johnson, he's a speed guy and he's a really good route runner. I think he could take advantage of Hill, who's their other corner on the other side. I think he could beat some guys and really get the pressure off of Mason, but Mason just doesn't seem to want to take the shots downfield. I don't get it. Tomlin even said in his press conference, Mason needs to improve.
See, that's weird though, because that one game I watched a couple weeks ago, who was that against? The Chargers?
Yeah.
He threw the ball up. Like they scored like 3 passing touchdowns on it. He was throwing like every play. It seemed like he was throwing it down the sideline.
Yeah.
And then last week, of course, he was more of a dink and dunk guy.
Yeah.
They played the Colts last week. Yeah.
But so, after, I think the Chargers game was pre-concussion.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken there, I'll have to
look. That was his first game back, I thought.
Was it? I'll have to look. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I don't know if stretching the field is going to be a good game plan this week, because with Aaron Donald, you might not have a lot of time to wait for those routes to develop. So,
I agree. And that's what I was going to say. This is where I think Jalen Samuels comes into play again, where a lot of check downs to him. And I think he can make guys miss. He just needs to hold on to the ball, because last week he had a big fumble to almost cost the game again.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I still think Mason's going to have to take some, he's going to have to relieve the pressure off of the run game. They're going to have to get something going with the run game. Can't have that. I think they had 26 rushes for 80 yards last week. It was awful.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So I really think he's going to need to open it up a little bit. So as far as predictions go for this game, this is a really tough one. And I still think the Steelers defense is better than the Rams.
I'd say, right now.
I do. I think we have better playmakers on that team. Look, they have Darnold and Jalen Ramsey, the two best at their positions.
Yeah.
So,
and then Fowler.
I get that.
I'd be worried about
Fowler's
Fowler.
Fowler's good, too. Yeah. You can't take it away from him. But I think Bud Dupree is putting together a career year, and it's about time, in his fifth year. T.J. Watt is a superstar. Minka is a superstar. And I think we have
greatest safety that's ever lived.
Thank you.
He's better than Rod Woodson.
Every time you want to say it.
He's better than Rod Woodson. He's better than Ed Reed, Troy.
Yes.
Dawkins.
None. All of them rolled. Don't even put Dawkins in the conversation.
What do you mean? Don't put Dawkins?
He's not even in the conversation. Don't mention him with me? Rod Woodson and Troy. Come on, that's not even.
Fuck out of here! I will fight you over that shit. Brian Dawkins is one of the best safeties that's ever lived.
Overrated.
Fuck out of here. Don't you dare disrespect that man.
It still scares me that they could have had Troy and Dawkins in the same backfield.
Yep.
Or in the same secondary, but.
Yeah, but we took Jerome McDougal. Exactly.
Yep.
All right, go ahead. Finish this
so,
up.
I think the Steelers can pull this game out, and I think they will. And I think it's going to be close. Both teams are going to score some points. So I got the Steelers winning this 34-30.
Wow. I have the Steelers.
You're going to disagree because you do every time.
No, I have them. I told you they're going to win 28-0 because Minka has four pick sixes. And that's my official prediction for the game.
All right. Yep.
28-0. Four pick sixes.
I can't argue with you. Can't argue.
That's anything else you got on this game?
No, man. No. We got to see what's going on later in the week with Connor. I think Connor changes the whole aspect.
This is almost a must-win for the Steelers. Well, I mean, I know they're in the wild card race.
They're still in the possibility of the wild card, but look, you can't drop under 500 again.
Yeah, this is almost must-win. I mean,
I would say
the Ravens pulling off that win against New England.
And I think bye week you're rested, but you got to travel across the country for the Rams, come into Pittsburgh, which is a hostile place to play, right after your bye week. So, I mean, we're going to see.
Yeah.
I think the Steelers will be ready for this game. And, yeah, this is going to be a big test for Mason, I think, to see what you have with him.
Yeah. He's going to be facing Donald. I mean, it's no joke right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big test for the offensive line.
He's coming home. He's going to have some fans there. Penn Hill's good.
Yeah. I think he has a good game. That's what scares me so much.
All right.
Yeah.
If that's it, Jay, go ahead. We'll wrap this thing up.
Yeah. Check us out on Twitter @Birds_Berg. Facebook page, Birds and the Berg Podcast. Please like, review, subscribe on all podcasting sites, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Please leave us reviews on there. We're trying to get our name out there a little bit more. If you leave a review and a like and subscribe to that, it will help put our name out there a little bit more. And also just leave some stuff on the Facebook page or on the Twitter. Talk to us on there. It really helps get our name out there.
Absolutely. That'll do it for episode 31 of the Birds in the Berg Football Podcast. Everybody enjoy the games this week. We'll catch you next week.